Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Kama Daf Tzadi Tes. We are holding on the very last line of Tzadi Ches Amad Beis, Lema Masayele. We're going to try to bring a raya, a support, to the concept which was laid down by Rav Asi yesterday. The point was, Uman Koine Bishvachli, a professional, a fellow who fabricates things. He takes raw material from the owner and turns it into a finished product. Wood into furniture, wool into a garment. The Uman, the professional, the actual fabricator, he is Koine Shvachli, he acquires that added value. So when he returns it to the owner, he's sort of selling it to the owner, because that added value, that so-called finished product, really belongs to him. The raw material belongs to the owner, but the fabrication, turning that raw material into from just plain raw material into a finished product, that added value, that added, you know, benefit, that shvach, is attributed to the fellow who crafted it. And therefore, as we learned yesterday, let's say something goes awry. He ruins it. He damages the finished product. How much does he need to pay the owner back? So according to Rav Asi, just raw material. The cost of the actual wood or wool, because the finished product belongs to the craftsman. Perhaps we can prove this point from the following halacha. A fellow gave wool, raw material, to a etzaba, a fellow who would dye, you know, would color it. And something went wrong. V'hikdichoy yoyre is the, the vat in which they dye it. And, you know, he overheated it, it burnt, it got damaged inside there. How much does the craftsman pay? Noisin loyd made simray, raw material, wool, that's all. The made simray in, only for the material. The made simray ushevachay loy, but not for the added value of dyed material, which was lost. No. And the reason is because the owner had raw material. That's all he had. The added, value that was added to this raw material by way of this dyeing process, that added shvach, that benefit belongs not to the owner, rather to the craftsman. No need to pay for that. Says the Gemara, the Meitzimro Yishvach Eloi, that's the writer of Asi, that the Uman is kind of that shvach, loy, says the Gemara. So we're assuming, that the wool was damaged after it already absorbed the color. It was already colored, it was worth more, and then it was damaged. Then it got ruined. In which case the item already experienced that added value. And still the craftsman need not pay for that. He need not compensate the owner for that lost shvach. Why? Because of Rav Asi's concept. Ushmamina, we learn from here, Uman, a craftsman, in this case, a painter, a dyer, he's kind of that shvach, it's his. Really, is that a raya? Amar Shmuel? No, not necessarily. Hacha, but my skin, perhaps so speaking, that it got damaged at an earlier point in the process, before it got worth more. It got burnt, it got damaged bishas nafila, as it was absorbing the dye, the lack of shvach. At that early point, there's no shvach, there's no added benefit, the thing is not worth anymore. So there's no point in paying for that extra. But says the Gemara, but what does Shmuel mean to say? If it would have happened after it absorbed the dye and increased in value, what would be the halacha? In this case, the fellow would have to pay for that too. Really? So, Lema Shmuel Lesle Rav Asi, do you mean that Shmuel disagrees with Rav Asi? Rav Asi holds the Shvach belongs to the craftsman, and Shmuel disagrees? Avalach Shmuel, no, Shmuel would respond to you like this. Typically, an uman is kaina b'shvachkli, but here we're speaking about a unique case where all the ingredients, the wool, the dye, everything belonged to the owner and not to the craftsman. And therefore, you can't apply this concept of uman kaina b'shvachkli. Hacha, b'mayaskin, we're speaking about a unique case. He going to tzemer, v'saman in the balabais. Rather than the owner just contributing his raw material and everything else the craftsman does, no. Even the samanon, the paint, belongs to the owner. Vitzava, and the dyer, agar yodehu the shakal, he's just getting a fee for his labor, for his work. He's not attributing any material to the cause. So here, of course, he doesn't acquire that added value. It's not his doing. It's his work. He's meant to get paid. But the material and all added value associated with this activity, with this process, belongs to the owner. So therefore, if in fact it would have been ruined after it already absorbed that dye and it was, you know, had increased in value, sure, in this case the fellow would have to pay him for everything. Would have to compensate the owner for the entire loss. But here it's different, because it so happens to be that the damage occurred before the dye actually was absorbed into the material. So all he pays him is for the raw material. Says the Gemara Yachi, if that's the case, we're speaking that all the ingredients were brought by the owner, so the tzaba should pay him for the wool and the ingredient and the paint, because he ruined it all. Says the Gemara, you're right. Elo, says the Gemara, rather Shmuel dechuyi kamatchile. Let's go back. This system doesn't work out. Let's go back a second. We tried to bring a raya from this Mishnah that uman is kainim b'shvachkli. Shmuel responded, no, maybe the damage occurred prior to shvach arriving, before it absorbed the color of the dye. Now Shmuel wasn't voicing his own opinion. Shmuel himself perhaps would agree with Rav Asi in concept, in principle, that uman is kainim b'shvachkli. He just meant to say that you can't prove anything from this Mishnah. Perhaps this Mishnah wouldn't hold like Rav Asi. Perhaps if the damage would have occurred after the wool would have absorbed the dye, yeah, then the craftsman would have to pay for all, for the shvach as well, right? So perhaps this Mishnah doesn't agree with Rav Asi. So again, we're speaking that the only thing the owner contributed was the raw material, the wool. And the reason why the craftsman is only responsible for the wool, that's because the damage occurred before the wool absorbed the raw material. But otherwise, had it have happened later, after it had already absorbed, it got colored, it got that increase in value, perhaps the craftsman would have to pay for the entire thing, because the shvach belongs to the owner. So it's just a theory. Perhaps the Mishnah would hold like that. But Shmuel himself says the Gemara, he can very well hold like Rav Asi, that uman is kaina the shvach, and he never has to pay for that. It's his. His doing relates to him, and all he's responsible for is the raw material. Tashma, here comes another attempt at proving this point. Hanoisin talisa l'uman. The fellow gave his garment to a dry cleaners, okay? Gumroy. Right? So he gave him a talis to fix up, a tailor, whatever. He finished the job. V'yodioi, sent him a message, I'm done. Afilu mekan v'atzor yavim. Even if the owner waited 10 days to pay the craftsman, ein oiver alav mishum lo yisolin, he hasn't really transgressed the issur of delaying, you know, the wages of a laborer, because he never picked up his item, which would trigger that, you know, payment. But once he takes delivery of the item, He picked it up midday. Once sun sets, the Isra of Baal Tolin is applied. Question. We don't understand this halacha to begin with. This craftsman, let's assume he's a tailor, he's taking, you know, material, turning it into a garment. He improved it. He added value. He increased the shvach of this material. And he is kind of that shvach, it's his. Right? So the finished product, so to speak, belongs to him. So when I go and I pay him for it, that's not wages. I'm not paying for your work. Baal Tolin applies to a wage. Here I'm buying it, I'm purchasing the item from you. It's yours. The suit belongs to the tailor. I'm buying it off him. There's no Baal Tolin. If in fact we say that Uman is Kaina de Shvach Kli, so perhaps we can prove from here otherwise. Yeah, I'm just simply paying it for his labor. The Shvach belongs to me, so it's not a purchase. I'm paying for his work. And on that you see Baal Tolin. Is that so? Omar of Mari Braid Rav Kahana. No. Begarda de Sarbalo. De Lekha Shvach. You're right. He's a tailor, he takes raw material, fashions it into a suit, of course. That suit sort of belongs to the tailor. I'm not speaking about that. He didn't fashion anything. Begarda de Sarbalo. He's a fellow who straightens out, begodim, you know, like sort of a dry cleaner. He combs it, he straightens it. They're like a shvacha. He's not making a finished product. He's taking a suit and giving me back the suit. So here, there's no concept, no shvach. So if ultimately, l'may yovani alei, what I give it to him for? The rukuchi, to soften it. He's to soften it and bang it. Kivin the rakichei. So once he did that, hainu shvach, that's the shvach. He took it from hair to hair. So once again, back to the problem. If the uman is kind of the shvach, then it's just a sale. There's no Baal Tolin. L'itzricha the agri, the bitch, was speaking that he hired him to bang it. That's how they used to soften their begadim. Bitcha, bitcha, b'masa. Every bang gets a coin. Tainu schiris. That's not called a shvach kli. He's not crafting anything. He's not producing anything. He's just simply a hired laborer. And on that we say Baal Tolin. Well, the Midas Alka died to me, Kara. Now let's go back a second. We thought the Le'agrili bitch. That wasn't the case. He wasn't hiring him for, you know, banging. Rather, I hired him for the job. X amount of money, take care of my beggar. That's called kablonis, like a contractor. It wasn't, you know, directly paying for the labor. Paying him for the finished product. Take my suit and process it. Soften it, whatever, right? So, the Braisa says, or seem to have said, if that would be the case, that Baal Tolin applies here as well. Not just by a plain worker, but even by a contractor. Mesayeli Rav Sheshes. This would be a right Rav Sheshes. The boy Rav Sheshes. Boy name Rav Sheshes. The answer of Sheshes. What about Kablonus? Kablonus means a contractor. Undertake to, you know, do a certain job for you. I'm not getting paid by the hour, by the minute, by the job, right? Kablonus. Oyver olav mishum Baal Tolin. Oyver. Is there a concept of Baal Tolin or not? Was it just by a fellow hired, you know, by the hour? V'amalu Rav Sheshes. Oyver, yeah, it applies here as well. So we would be able to prove this point from our halacha here as well, because he took this fellow to process his baget, and the Bryce would say on that, Baal Tolin applies. Says the Gemara, Leimud Rav Sheshes, Pliga Adar Rav Asi. Here comes a new question. Rav Sheshes just told us that even by a kablon, a fellow who undertakes to, you know, finish a certain job, it's not by the hour, it's per job, it's a contract, it's a kablon. Rav Sheshet says, Bal Tolan applies there as well. As soon as he finishes his job, you pick it up, you own the money right away, you can't delay that payment, otherwise Bal Tolan is applied. What does that prove to us? What does that say to us regarding the question of Uman Koine B'Shvachli? Apparently it's not true, because if the craftsman would be considered the owner of that Shvach, of that finished product, then he's no longer a laborer. There's no concept of Bal Tolan. Don't delay wages of a work. He's not my worker anymore. I'm going to go buy it. It's his thing. I'm buying it off him. So when Rav Sheshet says Bal Tolan applies to a Kablan, apparently we don't say Uman Koine B'Shvachli, because that would sort of change it into a sale. Says the Gemara, Amri, when Rav Sheshet says that Bal Tolan applies to a kabbalah, we're not speaking about a tailor who took material and turned into a suit. No, he's a postman. He's being paid 39 cents to deliver the letter. It's not a laborer, he's not a worker, he's not by the hour, by the job. He's contracted to deliver the mail. Here Rav Sheshet says, despite the fact that he's a kablan, Bal Tolan applies, but the whole concept of Uman Koine B'Shvachli, acquiring the added value, is inapplicable. We're not speaking about crafting anything. We're speaking about delivering a letter. So the whole question is not relevant. It's unrelated to our shayla of Uman Koine B'Shvachli. Bottom line is, Rav Asi says, Uman is Koine B'Shvachli. For instance, you're given the wool to dye, you're given the material to turn into a suit. The raw material belongs to me, but the finished product belongs to the craftsman. And he's going to sell it back to me when I pay him for it. And we come out that Bal Tolan wouldn't apply there, because I'm no longer paying him for his wages. I'm like sort of buying it off him. The only time by a kablan you can say Bal Tolan is by a postman who's just contributing his manual labor without actually producing a finished product. Leimo katanoi, perhaps this concept of Uman Koine B'Shvachli is dependent upon a machlekes tanoi. Listen to this. Aseli Sheirim, an Isha, addresses a man. Could you, he's a jeweler, professional jeweler, could you make for me bracelets? The zaman with taboys, nose rings, rings, right? Ve'kadosh lach, and by doing that for me, I will become your wife. Kivan she'asa mekudeshes. Once he produces this jewelry, it triggers the kiddushin, because she has received, a service and a product. That's instead of the pruta, which is required for kinyan kesev of kiddushin. Divrei Rav Meir. Chacham Aimer, no, enem kodesh, it doesn't work. Until the money gets to her. Now, my mammon, which one are we speaking about? Ilim oisei mammon. Are we speaking about that jewelry? And the Chacham say, well, the kedushin only happens when she gets it. So what does Rav Meir mean? Mechlal de Rav Meir, sava oisei mammon, nami loy. Does he mean to say that she's mekudeshes even before she gets the ring? Why would you say that? Ela b'mayt mekacho, what's going to make the kedushin if she never gets anything? El Abshita, so it must be my mamin. The Chacham say she must receive mamin achar. The jewelry is not enough to make the kedushin. Other money is what she has to get. And Rameir says, no, jewelry is enough. Now, what's the machlekes about with Sabrua? And we figured the Kuli Am all agree that Yeshna l'schirus mitchil v'atzoy. You see, there are basically two methods, two ways to look at wage earnings. How does a person earn his wage? He's working from morning to night laying bricks. Do we say it's lump sum? Finishes the job, boom, he gets his $100. But until then, he's not owning anything. It's like all or nothing. Or do we say, for every brick that he lays, he gets 5 cents? And as soon as he lays a brick, he's owed that 5 cents, and it becomes like a milva, it becomes like a loan. he's owed the money, then he proceeds to the next brick, another 5 cents. So it's sort of phase by phase, incremental. So is it a one-time owe, or is it an incremental owing process? We figured at this point, the kuli alma yeshna l'schirus m'tchilat seif. A worker earns his wage as he goes along. As soon as he does enough work to earn a pruta, it's owed to him. And it sort of, you know, accumulates. It's owed to him as a, like a loan, until he finishes the whole, you know, the whole full amount. So in this case, where the fellow was crafting her jewelry, now she gave him the raw material, right? He's just working, just producing it, crafting it into a piece of jewelry. For every pruta of work, she owes him a pruta. The fact that he's sort of foregoing it makes it into a milva. She owes it to him. Utukul Yaman all agree, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbanon, HaMakadish b'milva and Mekadesh. You cannot be Mekadesh Isha by forgiving a loan. You have to give her money. You can't just forgive a loan. So what's the discussion about us? Why would it work? My love, it must be b'uman koyne b'shvachkli k'mifliki, machlekes. It revolves around this very question. Does the craftsman, in this case the man, the jeweler, gain possession of that added value? The shvach kli, it turned from raw precious metal into a beautiful piece of jewelry. He's kind of that shvach kli. The Rameir Sava, yep. Uman kind of a shvach kli, it's his. And therefore, as soon as he gives it back to her, as a finished product, he's given her a lot. He's given her his item. That's kedushin. Rabbanan Sarve, no, ain't uman kind of a shvach kli. He doesn't take possession of that finished product. It's not his. At most, she owes him for his work. Okay, but as we explained, that's a milva. It's money owed. Money owed cannot be used for kedushin. There's nothing tangible being given to her. So we see that this concept is really machlekes tanoim. Lai, no, the kuli alma ain't uman kein mishvachli. Perhaps all agree he doesn't acquire that shvach. So what's the machlekes? Machlekes is how to view the process of wage earnings. The question is whether or not he earns his wage as he goes along, or is it just a one-time earning at the end? He only earns it at the end. So it was never a milva. He's not owed anything until he finishes. And when he's done, and he gives it to her, right now, it triggers his wage, and he gives it up. Here, take it without... Take it, please. I'm not accepting any pay for it. So by giving it to her free of charge and foregoing his wages right now, he's sort of giving her something of value. That's a kedushin. Rabbanan Sarve, no, they hold yesh l'schirus m'tchilat seif. He was earning his wage as he was going along, and it kept on turning into a milva. You owe me this. You owe me this. You owe me that. Right. And now, when he's done, and he wants to sort of forego and forgive that loan, Mekadosh b'milva, it doesn't work. So that's a way to explain the machlekes. The only way you can do kedushin is by giving her other money in addition to the jewelry. Another possible explanation can be the kuli alma yeshna l'schirus b'tchilat seif. Everybody agrees that wages are earned, incrementally, accumulatively. V'acha b'mekadosh b'milva k'miflekei. So it's certainly a milva. Question is, can you be mekadosh with a milva? Rameir Savar, yep, it works. Hamakadosh b'milva mikudeshes, by forgiving a loan, it's tantamount to having given her something. But I want to suffer. No, hamakadosh b'milva and mikudeshes. Rava Amar, I have another pshat. The kuli alma yeshna l'schir tchilat soif. Everybody agrees, wages are earned bit by bit, and as it's going on, it's considered a milva. All agree you can't use a loan for a kedushin. The kuli alma ain uman kodesh mishvachli, you can't. Consider him the owner of the finished product. So what do you give her? So what's going on? Ella Achaba Mayaskinu must be speaking. Kigan Shahisifla, Neifech Meshalai. When he took her raw material and fashioned it into a piece of jewelry, he added a bit of his own 2 cents, so to speak. He put a nice little stone, Neifech Saper Biyalam, right? We have in the Yachishan. So he added his 2 cents. And then he gave it back to the bracelet. So the bracelet is not a gift, it's hers. But the stone is. So in terms of the wages that he's foregoing, that's a milva. But the stone is an actual gift. It's a legitimate kiddushin. So what's the machlekes? Remeir sofer milva upruta. When the man gives the isha a milva, which doesn't work for kiddushin, and he adds his own pruta, package deal. Data pruta. She's thinking about the pruta. Right? She got two things. But she, the assumption is that the focus is on the pruta, which is legitimate kiddushin money. So it works. Rabbanan Sarvari, no. Mulva pruta, data mulva. When you get a mulva and a pruta, you're thinking about everything. So it doesn't work because the mulva is not legal tender for kiddushin. Ube plukta dani tanoi. Actually, we have another machlekes tanoim revolving around this very question. When you combine a mulva, which is not legitimate kiddushin, tender, with a pruta, which is, does it work or not? Ube plukta dani tanoi desanyu. B'schar shasis imach in mekudeshes. Look, remember I laid your bricks, right? I worked for you. You owe me money. I'm giving up that money. It doesn't work because it's over. He already gave her back the product. It's certainly a milva. You can't be mekadesh with a milva. But b'schar shas imach, you know, I'm going to do a job for you tomorrow. Don't pay me, and that should be instead for the kiddushin mekudeshes. It works. Because it never happened yet, and it's not yet a milva. So sure, it can be applied for kiddush. Rabbi Nosson Omer, he disagrees. B'schar she'es imach enim kiddushes. Even future wages doesn't work. Rashi explains, because he holds that wages are earned incrementally. As he proceeds with that job, he keeps on earning a pruta, another pruta, another pruta. It's not a one-time liability. It's an ongoing earning. So as it happens, it becomes a milva. So even future wages cannot be applied for kiddushin. The kosh can certainly past wages, which are certainly due, right? Past due, and certainly a milva. The kosh can b'schar shasis imach. Rabbi Danasi Aymer, he seems to be going very similar with Rabbi Nosson, except for one change. We'll see. Be'emes amru, it's an accepted clear halacha. Be'em b'schar shasis imach. Whether he's referring to wages which are past due, u'be'em b'schar she'es imach. Whether future wages, enim kodeshes, can't be applied. But he adds another point. If he decides to add another, contribute to the job with his own material, that's a true gift, and that works. So clearly, according to Rabbi Danasi, when you mekadesh with a milva and a pruta, we can focus on the pruta, and it works. And the Gemara analyzes the three shittas. We have Tanakama, we have Rabbi Nosson, and Rabbi Danasi as follows. What's the machlekes between Tanakama, who says you can apply future wages to kedushin, and Rav Nosson disagrees. Schirus. Question is, how do you view wage earnings? Is it a one-time lump sum earning? So future earnings can be applied for kedushin. Or is it an incremental earning? In which case, it keeps on becoming a mova, mova, mova. You can't use it for kedushin. So that's readily understood. However, between Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Danasi, between the last two shitas, who seem to be saying the very same thing. Past or future wages cannot be applied for kiddushin. What's the difference? Mova pruta, because Rabbi Nosson said any type of earnings are unacceptable for kiddushin. Rabbi Danasi says you're right, but if he decided to add a neifich mishaloi, contribute a little bit of his own material which was worth a pruta, so he has a pruta that he's actually giving her. So despite the fact that it's being bundled and packaged together with a mova, you can ignore the mova aspect and focus on the pruta, and it works. Bottom line, Rabbi Nosson tells us uman kainim mishvachli. He was commissioned to take raw material, fashion it, craft it into a finished product. He gains possession of that finished product, and he's only liable for the raw material. There's no concept about tolin, and it would affect the ability to do kiddushin with this type of product as well, as we just explained. Let's continue. Omar Shmuel, tabach, a butcher, a sheichet, uman, an expert sheichet, shekilkel, who messed up the animal and made it non-kosher, unfit for use, made it unavailable. So he failed in the shechita process. Chayv l'shalom. He has to compensate the owner of the animal. Must pay up. Mazaku pashehu. He damaged. He's reckless. Nasaka imra lo yishchet li mekan v'shachat li mekan. It's as though the owner asked him, do the shechita on this side of the animal. He did it on the other side. He's reckless. That's the halacha. Even if he's a tabach uman, an expert, professional shechet, pay up. Now, why this whole, flowery expression? Why mention that he's a mazik and a pesheya? This double label. The answer is like this. If we only call him a mazik, He's only liable if he was paid for the job. Mazik indicates that he's chayiv irrespective of whether it was deliberate, unintentional, whether it was mazid, whether it was an oinus or close to an oinus. You know, he didn't actually, you know, mean to do this, right? But he wasn't, you know, careful enough, and that's what happened. And as Rashi explains, the lashon, the term mazik, indicates that a person is liable regardless of the circumstance, because a person is mu'ad la'olam. We had the Mishnah back on the Chafava Amar Aleph. A person is always responsible for his actions, whether it was done deliberate, unintentional, doesn't matter. And that's what the term mazik is coming to denote. You're fully liable. Why? Because you were paid for the job. You take responsibility for whatever happens. Even if you can excuse yourself, it doesn't matter. You're fully liable. So I would think that's only because he was paid for it. That sort of lifts, it heightens his level of liability, makes him more responsible. And he's called a mazik. He's getting paid for it. But suppose he was doing it as an unpaid volunteer. So perhaps in this case, he doesn't carry with him, you know, any liabilities. I'm just doing you a favor. Right? When you're getting paid, you've got to be more into it, more cognizant. You're getting paid for the job, but if he's just doing it free of charge, so perhaps in this case, we can't hold him accountable. Lo, he's not chayiv. That's why we add the second point. No, he's being careless. Carelessness. It applies to, okay, so whether you're being paid or unpaid, and you're fully chayiv. So the chiddush that Shmuel teaches us, even if a professional shaychet, if he messes up, whether he was paid or unpaid, he's chayiv. Esvei Rav Chama Bar Gurio Yazakash Ol Shmuel. Hanoisim Hemel Tabach. He hands the animal to the sheikh. V'nibla made an avela. Uman pata hadit chayev. If he's a professional, he's pata. If he's just a regular man, he shouldn't be involved in these things, right? He's not a professional, then he's chayev for ruining the animal. But that's only when he was doing it free of charge. Let's say he was getting paid to do the shechita. In this case, we say bein hedyet, bein uman chayiv. Whether he's an ordinary person or even a professional, he's chayiv. But otherwise, he's not getting paid, and he's a professional, he's potter. Shmuel tells us, no, a professional is always chayiv, even if he's not getting paid. Amar lei, so Shmuel responded a little bit sharply, lei akir moichach, your brain should be muddled. Meaning, what are you asking me these questions? Asa humra, he's going to explain in a minute why he was, responding in this fashion. Asa, okay, suddenly this other chacham comes in, and he asks Shmuel the same question from the same brice. Amalei, so Shmuel responded, well, you just took over the other person's position. Hashta shaklas, you just took over my deshakal chavercha, the good words that I told your friend. Basically, you stepped into his footsteps, into his shoes. Look, let me explain something to you. Why are you asking me these questions? I was coming for a mirror when I said that a sheikhet has a heightened sense of responsibility, heightened level of liability. I was going with Rav Meir or Shita, who was very strict in terms of holding him accountable. And you're asking me a kashma or a brisa. That's Rabbanon, who don't have the same standards of liability. Why don't you pay closer attention to what I'm saying? Shani Oimer Mazaku Peshehu. Remember, what did I say? He's a Mazak, he's a Peshehu. Nasaka Oimer Loishchait Limakan, Peshachat Limakan. Right? It's as though he was asked to Shecht over there and he Shechted on this side. I'm coming down very hard on this Shechet, right? That is reflective of Rabbi Meir's opinion, who has higher standards in terms of our expectations from this professional Shechet. Man isli haisvar. Who subscribes to this opinion? Rabbi Meir. Da'amar mi boile lemir manav shei. Rabbi Meir holds that the sheikhet should be paying more attention. So he holds that a sheikhet is chayiv, whether he's paid or unpaid. Hi, Rabbi Meir. Okay, where do we find Rabbi Meir that holds this view? Ilay mahor Rabbi Meir. Is it the following Rabbi Meir? That's not. Kshari bal b'moysera. So the animal owner tied down his animal, right? V'nal b'fanav karoy, that's called a shmira pechusa, you know, standard mode of guarding the animal. And v'nal v'yotze v'hizik, went out and he caused damage. Bein tam, bein mod, whether it's a tam, he's a mod chayv, you gotta pay for it. Divra mer. What do you mean? I watched it. I guarded it. Apparently. It's not enough. You gotta do a better job. So you see, Rameer has higher standards in terms of liability. Well, Hasan b'kroy pligi, who says there it's a special discussion because of it's rooted in the psukim, which tell us, you know, which level of shmira is required. So it's unrelated to our sukkim. Ella ha Rabbi Meir, rather it's the following Rabbi Meir, this not. You have a Mishnah, Utzbayeloi Adam, it's a Vesh Shachar. He gave the fellow some wool to dye red, he turned it into black. Shachar, it's a Vesh Adam, I asked for black, he made it red. Rabbi Meir, Imer, Noisnet, made Simroi. Rabbi Meir says, this fellow got to pay back my wool. So apparently, even this sort of slight change, a change of color, okay, not the end of the world. Maybe, you know, he was thinking red is also nice and the owner is not so particular. We see, we hold him accountable, got to follow instructions. So you see, Rameer has very high standards of liability. So that's the goal. What do you mean? Pretty basic. Hasam, biodayim kalimine, this fellow took it and burnt it. Biodayim, it's just an expression. He ruined my wool. That's higher standards. It's basic. What's he doing, you know, with the wrong color? That doesn't indicate high standards. Ella Horab Mir. Rather, it's the following Mishnah. It's not. Ishbaru Kadiv Le Silka. Fellow's walking down the road. His container bursts. And he doesn't bother cleaning up the mess. Nafla Gamla Leimida, or his camel collapses. And he fails to get it out of the way. And somebody comes and trips on it. Rab Meir? Oimer? Chay Beniskan. This fellow is fully liable. V'chacham Oimrim, Potter Medini Adam, V'chay Medini Shemaim. In Shemaim, you hold him accountable. What are you being so reckless? Should have been cleaned up after yourself. But in Bezn over here, Shalmato, we can't hold him responsible, liable. The Kaimelan and the Aloche, and the explanation given to the Machlekes was, the Beniskal, in a case where a person tripped, he didn't mean to trip. He tripped, right? It happens. But Yishayahu, please, do we hold him accountable for that or not? According to Rameer, should be more careful as you're walking down the street with fragile items or animals. According to Rabbanon, it's going a bit too far to deem him responsible for that. So bottom line, Rameer holds him accountable. Apparently he has higher standards in terms of liabilities. Likewise, says Shmuel, if the expert Shechet messed up the animal, he has to pay. Amar Rabba Barachanu Rabbi Yechanan. Tabach Uman Shekil Kol Chayv. Once again, we have the professional Shechet messed up the animal, you gotta pay. Even if he's a world expert, like the butchers in Tzipor, asks the Gemara, "Umi Amar Rabbi Yechanan Hachi? Is that so that Rabbi Yechanan holds him accountable?" V'Amar Rabba Barachan. There was a story. Uvda Havda. There was a story that was brought. Kamed Rabbi Yechanan. Biknishta. It occurred in the Beis Hakneset. It was brought in the Beis Hakneset. The Moin in this town called Moin. So a fellow a Shechet ruined the animal during the shechita process. And he turned to the shechet, Zil Aisi Raya. Can you prove the mamchis atanagoylam that you're an expert chicken, shechet vefatrach? Now I'll exempt you from it. So basically, Rabbi Yechon himself indicates if a person can present his credentials and prove that he's a certified shechet, then he's potter. My gosh, says the Gemara, look, kan bechinam kan beschar. In this case, he was doing it free of charge. So his level of liability isn't so high. And if he's an expert, he's pot. When Rabbi Yechanan said he's chayim, that's when he's getting paid. Oh, then he's hired for the job. He's got to be more careful. So it would seem from the Gemara that here we're going, even according to the Rabbanan, who don't have such high standards of liability, but if he's getting paid, then he's responsible because that makes him more committed, more responsible. Says the Makihoda Rab Zera, as Rab Zera says, Haraitzu Shishchayv Le Tabach, a person would like that the Shaykhet should be responsible for his deeds. Yagdim Le Dinner. You know what you do? You give him a coin ahead of the game. This way, he's paid. If he's paid, he's Chayev. Meisve, here comes a cash. Hamoylech Chitim Le Toichem. He brings his wheat to the grinder of a Loy Lassasan. who typically would first soak it to separate the, you know, the skins and then grind it. He didn't do that. Vasan subin amurs, and he messed it up and it turned into a whole mush of bran, etc. Or kemach lenachtim, he brought his flour to the baker for a nice loaf of bread. Vasoi he passed in the poilin, it turned into, you know, crumbling bread. Behem alatabach haniblo, he brought his animal to the butcher and made it an avela. In all these cases, chayiv, he has to pay him neshu, can I say sachar, because we treat him like a higher level shomer. Not like a shomer chinam was watching free of charge, but rather like a shomer sachar was getting paid, who has to guard his item from being lost or stolen. Here as well, we hold this fellow accountable as though he was getting paid, even though he's not getting paid. So you see, payment is not a prerequisite for liability. Amos says, well, no, say it like this. The reason why he's chayiv is because he's actually getting paid. Otherwise, he would be potter. And that's consistent with what we said before. There's another similar story. Ahu magrumta, the asoy the kamei rav. It was an animal who was shechted in a very questionable form, which was brought to Rav. Rashi explains, the windpipe is comprised of rings. You're meant to do the shechita inside the ring. What if he veered a bit outside the ring? He started in the ring and he veered out. So it's machlekes. According to the Rabbanon, it doesn't work. It's got to be fully in the ring. According to the basic Yehuda, as long as it was mostly inside the ring, it's okay. And that's what happened in this case. It was mostly in the ring and partially out. The animal was presented to Rav Tarfe. He says, it's Trefe, he can't eat it. Upatri l'tabach l'shlumi. What about the butcher paying for doing this? No, he doesn't have to pay any damages. L'shlumi d'me. Pogubi Rav Kahana v'Ravasi. Bahu garba. So Rav Kahana and Ravasi met this fellow who just lost his animal. Amalei. And they heard the story and they told this fellow, Avad bach Rav Tarfe. You know, Rav gave you a double treatment. Now, what does that mean? In a good way or a bad way? My tarti. What does it mean? Two things. Ilay matarti ligriyus, so two bad things. Because on the one hand, he should have ruled that the animal was kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says it's a proper shechita. That's number one. And he didn't do that with tarfi. He made it a treif. Like the kerabon, like the shechita shabon. So that's one thing wrong. One thing that we disagree with. Vinami. And furthermore, vinami kerabon. And even if we go like the rabbon, that's no good. The boyle chiyuv latafchi. He should have obligated the butcher to pay. So either way, he got you. He made a treif and he exempted the butcher. So they had a double sort of qualm on Rav. Are you allowed to do that? You allowed to speak like that about the Rav? Umi shara the memekai governor? Is a person allowed to express himself this way against the ruling of the Rav? Atanya, Rav Bryson, a similar thing in a Bezdin. You're not meant to badmouth the Bezdin. So after the Bezdin deliberated, you know, behind closed doors, so they ruled against this fellow. So when the dayan comes out, well, you shouldn't go to the fellow and say, you know what, I was really on your side. What should I do? I was overwhelmed by the other, outnumbered by the other. Ani mazak, I really was on your side. The chaver and chaim, they held, considered you guilty. Ava ma'as, what should I do? I was outnumbered. Shechaveira, my colleagues, Rabu Alai, they outnumbered me. You're not supposed to do that. That's rechilas. So here as well, you're not supposed to go and expound on the Rav's, you know, faults. Elo tati l'mal yusa, says the Gemara, actually, they will praising Rav. You're lucky. He helped you in two ways. Number one, he wasn't really sure whether it's a kosher animal or not. Do we pass him like this or that? So you know what? He took the most stringent route. He says, don't eat it. So he protected you from something non-kosher. But then, why doesn't he obligate the butcher? Well, you can say it was really kosher. So on the one hand, Rav protected you from eating something which is questionable. Don't eat it, it's a trefa. Maybe it is. Well, go collect damages? No, because maybe it's not a treifa. It was a proper shechita. So he protected you from yeredeya issues and choshe mishpat issues. You're a lucky man. Itmar. Here comes a new case. Hamara dina l'shulchoni. So this fellow took a coin and he had the shulchoni, the banker, the coin expert, examine it to certify its authenticity, etc. V'nim tzara. So based on the Shulchani's recommendation, he accepted the coin from his, you know, customer. Next day he went to spend it, and it turned out that it was, you know, counterfeit. It was an inferior quality coin, he couldn't use it. He runs back to the bank, what do you mean? Tani chada uman potter. So one Bryce says, if it's a professional banker, he's potter. But if he's a hedyot, he's not a professional, just giving his, you know, 2 cents, chayav, then he has to pay because he steered him wrong and caused him loss. But Tani, we have another Bryce which says, He's always liable. Bein umar bein hadid chayiv. Whether it's a umar or a hadid, he has to pay. How do we explain this? Amar papa, kitan yuman pater. When the Brisa says that a professional is exempt, super professional, super expert. Kigoyin, for instance, these two people, Danku, as one person's name, V'isra, another fellow, these guys are experts. They don't have to study at all, they're up to date. So these professionals, you know, have professional, immunity. So how did they make a mistake? Well, they made a mistake. What happened was, it was a newly minted coin, new currency. It just came out of the, out of the mint. So, they thought they were familiar with it. It turns out they made a mistake. So they're not held accountable in this case. What's your choice? Go to a less proficient banker? At least you gave it your best shot and they tried their best. So as the Gemara, there was a story of a woman, the Achzayu Dinor Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya apparently was an expert in coins. So the woman came to certify the coin by Rav Chiya. Amar la Ma'alyo, he says, perfect coin, legitimate, tender, you can use it. Lamachar, so she accepted it. Lamachar, Asoy Lekamesh, came back to him the next morning. Va'amar li, she said, Achzisei, Va'amar li Bishu. I went out, showed her in the market, they didn't want to take it. I said, it's a bad coin, I couldn't spend it. You caused me loss by certifying it. Amr Leila Rav, Rav Chiya turns to Rav, his nephew, who was his treasurer, Zil Chalfini, go exchange and give her a regular coin. V'ksoiva kempenkasi, and write into my records, Deinesek Bish, this was as a result of some mess up, I shouldn't have gotten involved here, and it caused me loss. Asks the Gemara, but why is he paying at all? Umayish no danku v'isra, what about those experts, right? The Ptiri, they don't have to pay. Meshum, Lotzrich Lemigmar, they don't need to be educated, they're experts. Rabbi Chiya Nami, he as well. Lav Lemigmar Kabay, he's an expert. Says the Gemara, you're right. Al Pidin, he didn't have to pay. He was going beyond the letter of the law. Rabbi Chiya Lefnim Meshur Sadinu Da'avad Ketanu Avyeis, as we learned, a person is meant to try to go the extra mile. We have a pasuk Vayidato Lahem Es Aderech Echobo Ves Amasa Shar Yasim in Shmoyis Yud Ches Chof. And the Brisa takes apart the pasuk, one part of it which refers to Lefnim Meshur Sadin Ketanu Avyeis Vayidato Lahem. What is that? Zebeis Chayim. Our life aligned. Talmud Torah says Rashi. We're meant to learn. Asaderech, what's that? Zukmilas Chasad, meant to be kind. Yelchu, what is that? Zukmilas, visiting the sick. The word ba, zukvura, helping with burial. Ashamas, what is that? Zehadin, following the letter of the law, keeping to halacha. And finally, the word asher yasun, that's going beyond the letter of the law, being extra generous, such as Rav Chiya with the woman. Zulafnim and Shursatim. Okay, bottom line is, we learned about Uman Koine Shvachli. We learned about Babi Mekalish Ben Milva. We learned about the Sheikhet being liable for messing up the animal. According to Rabbi Meir, even if he's an expert, even if he's doing it without accepting a fee, is chayav. According to Rabban, only if he's getting paid for it. We have a similar story regarding the coin expert, who is chayav, unless he's a real super expert, then he's potter. But even then, Rabbi Chiya went with Nimashos Adin and compensated the lady for the lost coin. All the best to you and Aslacha Rabbah.